Turn tonight, if you would, to Psalm chapter 77. I'm going to breeze right on through my message tonight and get through early because of that special dessert that's coming after the service tonight. And considering the fact that Brother Mike will be getting a small portion due to his remark this morning, they're going to take his portion and pile it on mine, and it's going to be much bigger, Brother Mike. Did you know that? Whenever you say I shouldn't have something, then you hurt yourself, brother. So I'm going to probably get through a little bit early tonight, no kidding. Been a long time since I had a banana split. Yes, that's good. That's about as good as you can get in the dessert section. Okay, Psalm 77. And my key text tonight is verse number 14, but I feel that I should read verses 15 through 19, or 15 through 20, and then what I'm going to do is I'm going to bounce back up and read verse 14 as my final reading this evening, because verses 15 through 19 actually support the truth in verse 14. So notice now, with your Bibles open, the Bible says, "Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph, Selah." So notice God's redeeming arm, verse 15. The wonders of his redeeming arm. Verse 16, "The waters saw thee, O God." The waters saw thee, they were afraid, the depths also were troubled. We notice the wonders of even creation, of even the waters, of even that which God has created. They all yield to the power of their Creator. They all yield. Then you'll notice in verse number 17, the clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The storm front that's moving through our area today illustrates perfectly what we see here in this verse tonight. It's God that gives us the rain, the storms, the thunder, the lightning. He's in control. Verse number 18, "The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy way is in the sea, and thy path in the great waters. In thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." Now verse 14, "Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." I'm preaching tonight on the wonder-working God. That's my theme this evening. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for what our eyes have been privileged to just read. This wonderful portion of the book of Psalms. Thank you, Father, for the illustrations that you give in these verses of the wonders of your working, of your power. We know that you are a wonder-working God. We thank you, Heavenly Father, now for the privilege of reading, of studying, of preaching. And Father, help us tonight to draw from this message, this truth, that which our hearts need. Bless now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, the nation Israel, God's covenant people, found out time after time that the heathen gods could do nothing for them. They made the mistake constantly of thinking they could worship other gods and those other gods would be sufficient. But they found out the hard way. History kept repeating itself. And Israel found out the hard way, there's only really one God that doeth wonders. There's only one God, the God of heaven and the God of earth. The Lord God, the Lord God of Israel was a wonder-working God. He is the wonder-working God, and he will always be the wonder-working God. The waters at the sea were afraid of him and rolled back, as we've seen here. They rolled back. It's a characteristic of God to do wonders. Why would we expect any less than a powerful, wonderful God than a God that would do wonders. His wonders are amazing. He is, again, I repeat, a wonder-working God. Every one of us tonight are an example of that. We're a living proof. We're a walking proof tonight that God is a wonder-working God. The testimony of a saint, the joy of the Lord, the ability to walk with Him, the privilege of Christian service. Everything about the Christian life is a testimony of the wonder-working God. The same God who did a wonderful work when He saved us is the same God that does a wonderful work in enabling us to live for Him, to serve Him, to do that which is right in spite of the wicked and crooked world all around us. Old Gypsy Smith, who was a preacher of the past century, he was one time asked when he was 87 years of age, someone asked him of the secret of his freshness in his old age. And he basically said this, I've never lost the wonder. I've never lost the wonder. I think of the wonders of what God has done. I think of the wonders of what God is doing. I think of the wonders of what God will do. And my heart is blessed. I'm thrilled. He is still at work today in spite of the efforts of those that are trying to silence Him or trying to deny Him or trying to frustrate what He's done. No one will ever succeed. There's no way of ever succeeding in working against God. He's a wonder-working God. The greatest invention that man has ever made, the greatest example of power that man's ever created, regardless of the workings of human hands, no one has ever compared to the workings of God's hand. The most powerful person on the face of this earth has no energy in compared to God Almighty. He is a wonderful working God. There was a train one time heading to a certain destination, and there was a passenger on board that train that kept repeating over and over and over the words wonderful. That passenger kept saying, wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Someone asked that person out of curiosity. They said, why do you keep repeating that word wonderful? And then that person went on to say this. They said, for many, many years, I was blind, but I was sent to a notable doctor, and that doctor restored my sight, and I'm able now to see for the first time. So all I can say is wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Have you ever thought tonight what it's going to be like on the part of those that have been blind all their life? Have you ever thought what it's going to be like when they see for the first time? I'm talking about a child of God. Have you ever wondered what it's going to be like? They've never seen anything. There are people that have been born blind, and the first sight they will see will be the face of Jesus. That's thrilling, isn't it? The wonder of it all. This verse says, He does wonders. He does wonders. I think of the wonders of God in many ways. I think of the illustrations of that truth in the life of people. I think of even the life of a little child, the excitement of a child, their enthusiasm, their excitement. It just kind of reminds me tonight of the excitement that the people of God ought to maintain throughout their Christian life. You know, a child, you can learn so much from a child. A child is full of questions. A child is inquisitive. A child is excited about things. You know, children, they have that excitement. And with age, sometimes we lose that excitement. But children are constantly living in amazement. A child one time kept asking his dad certain questions. The child said, "The child said to the father, did God create everything?" And the father said, he of course was a little bit hazy in his answer. He said, "I couldn't really tell you for sure." Then the child asked another question. The child said, "Where did God come from?" And the father said, "I really do not know." Then the child said, "Did God create everything?" And the man said, "I really don't know." And then the child said, "Where is heaven?" And the father said, "I really don't know." So finally the child looked up at the face of their father. And the child said, "Dad, it looks like I might be bothering you." He said, "I hope all these questions aren't bothering you." And the father replied, he said, no. He said, you can ask me anything you want to. He said, how do you expect to learn anything if you don't ask questions? Somebody said that a child at 5 has all of the questions and a person at 18 has all of the answers. We've all been there, haven't we? You know, a magazine one time come out with an article that was entitled, Whatever Happened to the Wonders of Childhood? And then it went on to state, it said, today, in this TV and computer age, we've already seen everything. Adults have lost the wonder in the grind and work of life, though. That is tragic. For many, many Christians, the life of faith has become nothing more than a religious activity. He's the God of wonders. And that's what we need to think about. He is the God of wonders. This verse says that God doeth wonders. Let me just give you some practical ways of seeing that, of noticing that, of recognizing that truth about the God that doeth wonders. First of all, I would mention this. I think of the wonders of God's works. Of God's works. Psalm 26 verse 7, that I may publish with a voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Thy wondrous works. There are many wondrous works that God gets credit for. There's the wonder of His creation. The wonder of His creation. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And that one was none other than Christ. The Word became flesh. He was there at the beginning of creation. He's actually the Creator. So He is alive. God is alive, not dead. The wonder of creation. I know that God isn't dead, don't you? Someone one time went around spouting that old crazy theory, God is dead. And a Christian straightened him out in a hurry. They said, no, God is not dead. He said, I happen to know Him. And if I know anything, He hasn't notified me, one of His kin, if He's dead, or I haven't been notified, so I'm satisfied He's still living. Well, we know tonight that might be a weak type of an illustration, but reality is such. We know this evening He is alive. We know what He's done. I mean, I look at the creation of the physical creation, and I am awed at what God has done. But there's nothing that'll match the salvation and redemption of a soul. The new life in Christ. Creation is a wonder, but recreation is even more of a wonder. I'll tell you, God showed His power and His wonder in a greater way in redemption of a soul than God did in all of creation put together. He's the God that doeth wonders. I heard of a humorous story one time of two monkeys looking through the cage. And on the outside was a cage keeper or the zookeeper. And one of the monkeys looked at the other and he said, I'm not my keeper's brother. That was meant to be funny. Got a little bit of humor if you think about it. There's the wonder of creation. Secondly, there's a wonder of the cross. Of the cross. Paul said that God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The wonder of creation and the wonder of the cross and then the wonder of His care. Let me talk about that for just a few moments. The wonder of His care. God takes care of His people. God is good to us. He cares for us. He cares about what we're going through. He cares about our burdens. He is a God of care. Now, how do we prove that? By your own testimony, for one thing. But what about even the Bible? What about the truth of Scripture? Consider the lilies. Consider the sparrows. The same God that sees a sparrow fall out of a tree and His all-seeing eye sees the fall of the slightest of His creatures, don't you know that God sees what we're going through? The wonder of His care. Little child one night was praying and talking to the Lord. The child said, Lord, take care of my mother, and Lord, take care of my father, and Lord, take care of my brother. And he said, especially take care of yourself, because if you don't, we're all sunk. Then, there's a wonder of God's grace and compassion. His grace and compassion. Where sin abounded, grace does much more abound. Sin is abounding in this world, isn't it? But God's grace is abounding even more. And that's a wonder even in and of itself. The songwriter said, love sought me, mercy had compassion, but it was grace, marvelous grace, that set me free. God's grace. Salvation is a wonder. How wonderful is salvation? Have you thought much about it lately? Have you considered what it took for God to save you? Have you thought about the miracle behind your salvation? More than what our minds can comprehend. But you think of how the psalmist put it. He said it like this. He said, he brought me also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. That's a pretty powerful redemption. Out of the miry clay onto the rock. How about that? Christian, that's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, that's a wonder. He's put a new song in my mouth, the Bible says. Even praise unto our God. And many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. That's Psalm 40, verses 2 and 3. He's put a new song in our mouth. Have you ever compared your music of the past with your music of the present? Have you ever compared what you used to sing with what you now sing? Oh, I'm human like you. I still like George Strait, Ernest Tubb. Of course, you can tell what era I'm out of. George Jones. Y'all weren't fast enough on that, fellas. Test. This is a test. I saw him throw his head at me. What disrespect for the pastor coming out of that sound booth. A new song, though. Yes, we still. In fact, you know what I was watching tonight? Boy, I'll tell you, church is a good time to go into confession mode, isn't it? And I had a YouTube. I watch YouTube a lot. I was watching this YouTube channel. This, y'all may have seen this guy. This British musician. He tears a piano up. Y'all ever seen him yet? You watch that, Dean? That guy can make that piano talk, can he? I mean, he was going all over on the boogie woogie and everything else. I mean, and you think, man, that's awful fleshly. What kind of a carnal person are you? But I just like music. Now I've learned that a dancing feet and a praying knee don't go on the same leg very well, but we still like music. I remember years ago. I'm gonna really embarrass somebody now. And the people you just heard giggle are the ones I'm gonna embarrass. Where was that place we went that time, Steve and Gerald? Branson, right? We went in one of those shows there, and Cheryl was cutting a shine. Who was that old comedian, Steve, we were watching? You remember? Huh? Jim Stafford, that's right. But you know, the ability, and let me just put it like this, the ability to enjoy music is a God-given. But now, let's go further with this. He's put a new song in my heart. Amen. The song that I like the best that's in my heart is a song about redemption. It's a song about my loving Savior. Now I can be entertained by listening to other music, but I'm inspired and blessed by listening to the music of the soul, the music of the heart. And that's the difference. There was a time in my pre-salvation era that I had no use for that new song because I was an old man. You could say, put it like this, I was an old man before my time. In other words, the old man, the sinful nature, was dominating my life until I met the Master. And then He put that new song in my heart. You know, we come to church, and one of the things that we always do before we get to preaching is we sing, don't we? Choir music, special music, you always can count on music. I mean, how would it be if we just came to church and everybody assembles and I say, now open your Bibles, please, and let's bring a message. Well, you know, that's okay because that's Bible and we're preaching the Bible. But as a church worship service, we come interested in music, and that sets the pace. That kind of prepares the heart. And the reason why we appreciate music more, like we sing here, is because we've got a song in our heart. That new song. He's the God that doeth wonders. Then I think this evening about the wonder of His Word itself. The wonder of His Word. Psalm 119, 129 says, Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. Thy testimonies, that's talking about the Word of God. His Word is a wonder for many reasons. His Word is a wonder because it is powerful. The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. The power of it makes it a wonder. The life of faith is a wonder produced by the powerful Word of God. His Word is powerful in saving. His Word is powerful in purifying. Now you are clean through the Word which I've spoken unto you. John 15:3. His Word is powerful in the fact that it saves, it purifies, but also it's powerful because of what it promises. It promises to meet our needs. It promises to guide and strengthen. And in other words, the Bible gives us the promise of what God will do. And so the promises of the Bible make it powerful. Then His Word is permanent. That's another powerful thing about it. It's permanent. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will not pass away. The book endures. The Scriptures remain. No one has ever succeeded in destroying the Word of God, nor will anyone ever succeed. One of the avowed atheists, I think it was Voltaire, denied God, cursed God, was an evolutionist and an atheist, and swore that, in other words, he swore against God when he died without God, and based upon the truth of Scripture. Unless he got saved on his deathbed, he's in hell tonight thinking about how he fought God all those years. But interestingly enough, the very place where he printed his atheistic books with their violence and their filth and their anti-God, that place, that same store became a Christian bookstore. You can't fight God and win. His Word is powerful. And then I think of the wonder of His ways. The wonder of His ways. Romans 11 verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. Someone one time said, I can't figure God out. And the response that was given to that person was, I'm glad you can't figure God out. Because if we could figure God out, then He's not God. We can't figure him out. His ways are past finding out. That's the difference between deity and humanity. That's the difference between Almighty God and human beings. We can't figure him out. He's wonderful in his ways. His name is such a wonder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Don't you like the old song, Wonderful, Wonderful Jesus is to me, Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God is He, saving, keeping me from all my sin and shame. Wonderful is my Redeemer. Praise His holy name. He is wonderful. Now, in closing tonight, we've talked about the God of wonders. We've mentioned several things that God's a wonder in. But there is a solemn possibility of our losing the wonder. It can happen. That's why we need to rally together. That's why we need the instruction of Scripture. That's why we need God's help and God's strength. We can lose the wonder. And what a great loss. We can lose many things and get by with it, but we don't want to lose the wonder of the joy of salvation. That old song says, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. You know, there's a possibility. There are some tonight who cannot sing, I stand amazed in the presence. They have to change it around a little bit. They have to say, I stood amazed in the presence, because they've lost the wonder. We can quit wanting to know him better. We can. Paul said that I might know him and the power of his resurrection. When we quit wanting to know him better, we're in the process of losing the wonder. Life ought to continue to be a growing experience, a learning experience, an exciting experience. More about Jesus would I learn. It ought to be a continual burden on our heart. We can lose the wonder. We can resist the divine potter working on the clay. We can lose the joy of our salvation. And is there any wonder? The psalmist put it like this. He said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Keep in mind, that's Old Testament language. The Holy Spirit of God came upon those old prophets, and sometimes the Holy Spirit could leave them or would leave them. Now, we're in the age of grace. The Holy Spirit comes in and dwells. But let me keep reading with that passage. He said this, cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me, note this, the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Did you catch what he said? He said, restore unto me, not my salvation, but restore unto me the joy of it. We can lose the joy. When we lose the joy, we're losing the wonder. And that's the battle we're in. That's the struggle. That's how it is in this life. There's the devil tugging at us. There's the flesh tugging at us. There's the world tugging at us, trying to make us lose the wonder. So let's keep our guard up. Let's continue to trust him. Let's be careful that we never lose the joy of our salvation. Now, I'm not through reading Psalm 51. Because verse 13 is very, very pertinent. Here's what it says. Then, note this, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What does that say? When we lose the joy of our salvation, we're not in a teaching mode. We're not in an influential mode. We need that joy. We need to keep that wonder, because then and only then can we teach transgressors the error of their way, and sinners will be converted. So there's a lot hinging tonight on our keeping the wonder. God didn't give it to us. God didn't give us the joy of salvation to flaunt. A lot of things in life we can get by losing. We can lose a lot of things and be happy. Well, none of us want to lose our health. That's fairly important. But even if we lose our health, if we've got Christ in our hearts and we keep the joy, it's going to get better even there too. But I'm just saying, we can lose money and still be happy. We can lose our health and still be happy. Because again, we're talking about God and the life of His people. We can lose friends. We can lose a lot of things and still make it. But when we lose the joy of our salvation, our testimony is crippled. And that's hurtful. And other people, eyes are glued upon us and watching what we do. And so, therefore, our testimony can make the difference as to whether someone comes to Christ or doesn't. Of whether another Christian is helped along the journey of the way. You know, we need one another, don't we? We need to see in each other consistency and joy and an upbeat spirit because we influence each other. This dear brother sitting right over here tonight, Brother Calvin, I mentioned him this morning. He's not in church tonight because he felt like coming. He's here tonight because he loves his Lord. And in spite of his health issues, he figured he's going to battle it anyway, rain or no rain. Here he is. Look at him sitting over there. Just as ugly as ever. Of course, Joy don't think that way, does she? But that's what I'm saying tonight. The power, you know, somebody wrote a book, The Power of Persuasion. What about the power of testimony? We help each other. We build each other up. And that's why I say tonight again, I hate to turn something positive into something negative, but in light of saints of God like this brother over here and others that are dealing with issues in life that still are faithful serving God, younger people with health and strength and vitality have no excuse. There are people tonight that have no excuse unless they're sick for not enjoying sitting at the table like we are. And being here tonight, enjoying and appreciating the Lord and loving Him. I'm relentless in one thing. You've probably noticed that. I believe what's good for the goose is good for the gander. You know what I mean by that? I believe that every Christian ought to be equally as hungry, equally as excited, equally as committed, equally as joyous about their Lord. It's not a preacher thing. It's not a deacon thing. It's a Christian thing. I believe that. I've preached that for 50 years. I have a lot of expectation. They don't always get met, but I do. I expect every, and here's, this might blow some, this will wake some of you up for sure. I expect every member of the Smith Grove Baptist Church, if they're able, to be in church. I expect that. I was taught, one thing I always appreciate is my old military training. I mean, you get out there and you beat the pavement, whether you feel like it or not. And that old discipline pays off sometimes in life, doesn't it, military people? I kind of hold military people at a higher level of expectation. See, I do, because they've had the training and the discipline, and then on top of that, pour in a good dose of salvation. I really expect an old military person to really be setting that example. Don't you, Larry? See what I'm trying to say? Old Larry was an Air Force guy. So, the point I'm making tonight is, since God's so good, since He blesses us so good, we ought to give Him all we got. And we're all in the boat together. And by the way, when the rapture takes place, the boat's going up together. We're all going to heaven together. Well, then let's enjoy God together here too. Amen? You're thinking, preacher, how in the world can you take a perfectly good, positive sermon and turn that into that? Well, where there's a, you got to have a negative and a positive pole to make any good battery, right? And that's why we have sermons. How many of you by show of hand tonight will say, preacher, I've already got it together 100%. I'm really a positive person. I'm walking with God. I know that there's nothing between me and my God. Don't raise your hand, please. But how many of us can honestly say, I had the joy of the Lord like I always did? Think about it. If you don't have it, you're in the right place on this rainy night to get it back. We're going to have an invitation, and then we're going to go have that ice cream dessert. That's going to be, now I just gave you some dessert, but we're getting more on top of that. Now, isn't that a wonder? Let's pray. Father in heaven, bless the invitation now, and bless, we pray, the ending part of this service, and may these truths sink deep in our hearts tonight. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.